A CT Insider report recently revealed that hundreds of state employees work remotely from states outside of Connecticut. And when I first read this, certainly there are some who are concerned about the money aspect of this, or if we are holding back from giving opportunities to people who live here. But my bigger thing was relationally, I have a kind of an issue with this. If there's something going on in Connecticut, or there's something that needs a solution, or we need people's perspective on it, I want to know it's people who live in our communities, are paying taxes in our communities, are taking their kids to the schools in our communities. I want to know that the people representing our state are pretty much right here in Connecticut. Now, could there be a situation of somebody who's in New York or maybe in Massachusetts or Rhode Island? I'm a little bit more in favor of that because at least they can come back and forth. But I mean, some of these people live states away as far as Texas and beyond. So I wanted to talk about this with some of our lawmakers who are also sounding the alarm about this report. Joining us now is State Senator Steve Harding, who is the Senate Minority Leader for the great state of Connecticut. And Senator Harding, welcome back. What were your first reactions to this report?
Yeah, so Melissa, I mean, you hit the nail on the head in some of the, you know, initial concerns. You know, one of the things that, and I know you're such a huge supporter of first responders and law enforcement on your program. One of the things, back in the day, there was kind of this effort on the part of the majority to implement, like, these regional dispatchers so that if you called 911, you get a region as opposed to your own community picking up the phone line if someone were to call 911. And the biggest concern I had was, okay, well, if someone's in an emergency and they point to, I'm next to this building, if I'm sitting somewhere 30 miles away and have never been to your individual community, I have no idea what you're talking about. But if I call 911 and I've lived in Brookfield for 20 years and someone says I'm next to the Kohl's, I'm going to know exactly where you are. And in those type of situations, that's where, you know, seconds make a difference. Now, I'm not saying that every department is like that, obviously. But, I mean, I think inherently it speaks to your point, which is it's really critically important for individuals that are representing the taxpayer, getting paid by the taxpayer, and then ultimately representing agencies within our state government to understand the state and community that they're serving. Because it's a critical aspect to a lot of different entities within our state government.
I think it's strange. I think it's really strange, yeah. Senator Harding. Like, to me, you know, we talk about how we want to, I mean, and I'm not trying to point fingers or anything. I really am not. But to me, I think there's a disconnect when you've got, especially the leader who's now been in office for many years for Connecticut, when our governor says we want to retain workers, we want young families to come back to Connecticut, we want Connecticut to not be so much for, you know, an older population, but also really to attract the younger population. And I get it. Look, I get that younger workers, remote working is ideal for a lot of them, not all, because I know I'm a younger worker. I like being in the office, but I know that's not right. How everybody feels. But with that being said, I think there's a huge disconnect. If you've got somebody who is working states away, but saying, I work for the state of Connecticut, to me, it already doesn't feel like you love Connecticut, because why wouldn't you live here? Why wouldn't you want to raise your family here? Why wouldn't you want to be here? To me, there's that disconnect. Like, that alone just makes me go, eh. I don't know if that really resonates with the message that honestly comes from Governor Lamont and many other leaders in Connecticut.
Well, I mean, you're exactly right. And again, it's part of investing within yourself. And then if you want to talk about, you know, Connecticut ideals and believing in our state and renewing the effort to retain individuals, particularly young people in the state of Connecticut, and attract other individuals to find their home here, start their families here. It makes it very difficult when you're paying people on taxpayer dime here in the state of Connecticut. And to your point, some individuals are halfway across the country while doing it. It also speaks to, you know, I understand that, you know, we live in a world today where remote working is just something that is commonplace, particularly amongst the younger generation. But with that said, there is statistics that show, particularly within state government, that work product has significantly dropped with this remote working. And so, you know, on top of all of that, you know, on top of the fact that I'm sure you speak with countless individuals as I do, that say they've called state agencies and they get this continuously ringing phone and no one ever seems to get back to them. Now, not to say that 10 years ago, prior to COVID, prior to the remote world, that wasn't happening. It was, but to a far lesser extent. It seems like when I have constituents calling state agencies, including myself at times, to help constituents, sometimes I'm just getting a landline somewhere that I think is just sitting in an empty office. So you're not getting the services that we've paid for in the past, number one. And number two, you talked about relationships. You know, in order to have a good collaboration at the workplace, you generally need to see each other. It's a lot harder to build that relationship, that teamwork effort to make an organization or entity better when you're sitting at home and you've never met the person in person before. And I fear that's what we're leading to in terms of our state agencies, as well as there's probably not the same level of collaboration that you've seen before on behalf of your constituents as well. So, I mean, there is a lot of issues related to this. You know, whether it be economic investment and having people come here to invest in this state while they're working here, but also just overall the services they're providing the people of the state, I think are also is also a detriment in terms of this remote working atmosphere that we've created in this state.
And I do know we have Senator Steve Harding here. We're talking about this most recent report that came out regarding state workers who don't actually live in the state of Connecticut, but are, you know, employed by the state. I do think, too, you know, I know I had started off with I can understand if you live in our neighboring states, which, to be fair, this report did say the majority of the people who are working remotely for the state of Connecticut are in our surrounding states, a New York, a Massachusetts, a Rhode Island, what have you. But even that, I think, again, this is where I have a little bit of a disconnect is I would say, oh, well, then that speaks to the fact that Connecticut is so expensive that they won't live there. All of those places are super expensive as well. So I can't even really say you're getting much of a deal living in New York or Massachusetts or Rhode Island, because I think they're just as expensive. In some ways, their real estate is surprisingly sometimes crazier than ours is. So I do think there is a disconnect, especially those who live far away. I remember this article specifically saying Florida, Texas, I believe the Carolinas were in there. Pennsylvania was in there. And so it just sort of begs the question of, you know, not only the disconnect, but I mean, is there a money aspect to this, Senator Harding? Do you have to spend more money or pay more money, you know, for people if they're going back and forth, for example? Like I look at, you know, are they getting state vehicles and are we paying for the gas for them to get back and forth for their semi-remote, semi-in-office? I am questioning, is there more of an expense to an out-of-state worker for the state [S2] Right. [S1] Of Connecticut?
Well, I think you're wisely asking the questions that need to get asked. And I think now that this report has come out, these are the questions that I'm going to be asking, and I'm sure my Senate Republican colleagues will start asking as well, which is the follow-up questions to exactly your point, which is there a waste going on? Not only is this potentially detrimental to the services provided to the people in the state, in addition to the fact that, you know, you have individuals working for the state that don't really have skin in the game if they're hundreds of miles away. But in addition to all that, is there waste involved with hiring individuals or having individuals working for the state remotely from Texas? Or even, you know, obviously you're not traveling back and forth from Texas every day, but let's say New York. You know, Chancellor Chang is a great example. Chancellor Chang got, I believe, a $20,000 stipend to move from New York State to Connecticut. He retained that stipend and then never moved into Connecticut after years on the job. So I think this report, to your point, Melissa, is going to require follow-up questions, which is, are we wasting money on these employees that are living out of state, in addition to just the problematic aspects of it in and of itself? These are the follow-up questions I think they have to get asked, and depending on the answers, maybe more needs to be done here.
I think so, and I think it's such a missed opportunity. I'm not trying to slight anybody that, look, I understand. I live here. It's very expensive to live in Connecticut. I love Connecticut, but it is expensive, so I can understand getting a cheaper piece of property living in Florida, Texas. I get it. I get the algorithm, and here's the thing is, if it makes sense for you and Connecticut's offering it, this is, to me, not the fault of the workers, to be very clear.
Correct.
But I do think this is the fault of Connecticut saying, yeah, we're fine with remote workers, but I think there's a lot more in this that needs to be investigated. I also think it's a missed opportunity. Look, if you want to retain college, you know, college age students who are graduating and they want to get into, for example, want to get into law enforcement, we should be recruiting like crazy for our state police and for them to stay in Connecticut. Or if you want them to work in some kind of government office, if you want them to work in social work, we should be recruiting our college students after they graduate to stay here and get a state job and not to move out of state, but still be able to get a state of Connecticut job. I just think there's a lot that is disconnected here.
Right.
And so I'm glad that that lawmakers are sounding the alarm about it, because to me, this report just seemed kind of whack. We've got Senator Steve Harding here for a couple more minutes. And you mentioned his name before, Senator Harding. And I noticed this week you were on some of our Connecticut television broadcasts talking about Terrence Chang. What's going on? Obviously, you and I have talked about Terrence Chang before,
right,
and CSU, I should say, and just some of the issues that we've seen since that investigation was unveiled last year. What's the latest?
Right.
What's going on? Oops, gosh, Senator Harding, did I lose you? There you are.
Oh, there I am. Sorry about that.
You're fine.
So, yeah. It's just an utter lack of consequences for his actions. I mean, here you have a guy that essentially stole. I mean, I know it wasn't outright larceny, but essentially he utilized his taxpayer-funded credit card to purchase a bunch of unauthorized transactions from luxury travel, the restaurants, et cetera. And so he technically got removed from his position because of his actions. But then at the same exact time, in the same breath, the CSCU system turns around and hands him the same exact salary he was making as a chancellor and gives him this quote-unquote advisor role. And way back when this happened, you know, 6-7 months ago, myself and other Senate Republicans wrote a letter to CSCU saying, please tell us what you're expending $440,000 essentially on for his advisory role. I mean, what
does
world
that even mean?
Do you get promised?
What
correct
is an advisory role? What does that mean?
The best part, Melissa, is, and I think we talked about this, the best part is at first they promised him the money for the year. And then when we asked them, okay, well, what is he going to do for it? They said, we'll get back to you. Now, in what world, particularly with taxpayer funds, but in what world do you get promised a salary, and in terms of what you're going to do to earn it, you figure out later? That's exactly what the CSCU organization did here. And the governor hasn't said anything, and limited individuals in our state government outside the Republican caucuses have said a word about this. And this is $440,000, $500,000 in taxpayer funds that is going to a role that we still do not have definitive tasks on what we're paying this individual to do. And more than that, their credit, did a report on this. They said he's an advisor to the board. They've watched the entirety of 2 months worth of board meetings. He is not in attendance at one of them. So what board, what advisor to a board that's getting paid $500,000 a year doesn't bother showing up to any of the board meetings for months? It is just insane. And it's all
bizarre.
On the taxpayer dime. It really is one of the most frustrating things I've seen done with taxpayer dollars. And that's saying a lot in this state in my career as a legislator.
Yeah, it's weird. So, yeah, so Channel 3 has this I-team that did an investigation. They've watched hours of public Board of Regents meetings, and he has not been at any of them. He hasn't appeared in them.
Correct.
He hasn't spoken at anything. There wasn't any, like, even, you know, any written testimony, nothing that was sent in it. So what's he doing? Where is he?
Correct.
Like, has anyone even seen him? What's he doing?
Again, and right, and this is someone that's getting paid $500,000 a year strictly to, I guess, advise the board. I mean, to your point, Melissa, if you're not going to show, wouldn't you think that someone would reference an email or a correspondence from you saying this is dictating what you should be doing as a board or advising you in any way? It is bad government at its worst. And the lack of answers and kind of the arrogance, frankly, that we have received in our questions and in inquiring about this is really, it's quite awful. And I call on the governor. I mean, the governor technically is not on the Board of Regents, obviously, but has a lot of authority over it. He should be speaking out about this. If he cares about fiscal responsibility, if he cares about the taxpayer money, the hard-earned taxpayer money that comes into our state government, he and other Democrats, frankly, should be speaking out loudly against this. There's a lot of better ways I can think of that we as a state could be investing $500,000 as opposed to just filling the pockets of somebody that, frankly, should have been fired a year ago.
Well, that's just it. It feels like to me, and again, it was certainly seen as a systematic issue. This went well beyond Terrence Chang. It was something that we've seen with CSCU. But to your point, Senator Harding, this felt like I publicly addressed that we do not condemn this type of, activity going on, and that there was wrongdoing by Chang. So we are absolutely going to remove him as chancellor. But we're not going to remove the paycheck he's getting, and we're not going to even remove the fact that he is in some capacity working in education at the state level. So to me, this was just to publicly kind of appease people in Connecticut, and it sort of feels like it was just meant to make people think that we addressed the problem. But in actuality, nothing actually changed. In fact, it got worse because it feels like Terrence Chang is not even present at anything.
If you're gonna pay him $500,000 a year, you might as well keep him in his job and not, because not for nothing, we've now hired a new chancellor.
Right. So now we're paying more.
Twice now. Paying double. Correct. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right.
No, I'm glad that you're sounding the alarm about it, Senator Harding, and certainly let me know if you hear from lawmakers. In the meantime, I do want to let people know we've also reached out to Terrence Chang's team multiple times. Have never heard back. And what's troubling about that is Terrence Chang used to come on my show pretty frequently. When he was chancellor, he came on my show every month, 2 months, give or take. And then when the report came out last year, that obviously stopped, understandably so. But I have not heard back from his team. And so would love to have CSCU come on in some capacity. Even the new chancellor would love to have somebody on, but no one has responded to our calls. So let me know if you have any better luck. And thank you so much, Senator Harding. Appreciate your conversations.
Thank you, Melissa, as always, for all you do.
No problem.